Hello, my name is John Paul Richard, and for my double major, Russian and English Senior Independent Study Project, I wrote an epic poem and translated an article from Russian into English entitled The Semantics of Words with the Constituent Chern and Their Assessment when Implementing a Linguistic Expertise, based on the comments of internet users. Please follow along with the presentation. My project originated in my freshman or sophomore year, I can't remember, but I was in a Russian language class with Dr. Filimonova, and as we talked about color words, I asked if black had the same racial connotations in Russian as it does in English. While Russian doesn't have quite the same usage of just the word black on its own, it does have these two racial slurs. The word on the left, Chernomazi, and the word on the right, Chernozhulpi. The first word has the same sort of meaning as the N-word, but it lacks the American historical context, so it isn't really a flawless translation. The second word just literally translates to black ass. Now, how is that related to black? Well, both are formed by putting the prefix for black, chern, in Russian, with another root word. In my translation, you can see more of this. There's an article that examines the dictionary definitions of words with the prefix chern, black, and how they contain racial and ethnic connotations and denotations. All that to say, these two words are used pejoratively for the people from the Caucasus. So, these two words had led me to the Caucasus, and I did some more research. And when I did some digging around, I was stunned to find that the Caucasus are rich with ethnicities. There are like 20 or 30 in just this tight, packed little area. And this is because of how mountainous the terrain is, that each village was able to sort of retain its own ethnic identity because there wasn't anyone else to, you know, go out and talk with, go out and trade with, really. So, on these next two pages, first you see in color a more modern ethnograph, I think from the 90s, of all the ethnicities in the Caucasus area. And then the one after that is actually a picture I took from a book called Nart Sagas from the Caucasus by Kalaruzo. And that is an older one, I think at the end of the 18th century. That's sort of where all the ethnicities were at that point. So, all that research of the Caucasus led me to the Chechens, who I then focused on for my junior IS project. Specifically, I translated an interview between Zakhar Prilepin and German Sedolayev. Now, Sedolayev is a mixed-race Chechen and Russian who wrote a book entitled I Am Chechen, Ya Chechenets, which denotates the Second Chechen War from the side of the Chechens, and more specifically as someone who has a shared identity with the Russians and with the Chechens. Now, Zakhar Prilepin is a national Bolshevik, which is the Russian equivalent to a far-right party. They really want, you know, sort of a cleaning of Russia, quote-unquote, and to return to the older ways. And Zakhar is an interesting character who boasts of his time in the Russian Special Forces and in the Donbass region, which is the easternmost region of Ukraine. If you remember, in, I believe, 2014, there was a revolution, and then there was huge fighting with men called, quote-unquote, Little Green Men, who just appeared out of nowhere, and no one knew where they came from. Well, those were Russians, and Prilepin was one of them. You can see in the video here, he clearly boasts of his time killing Ukrainians and killing non-Russians very plainly, without any shame or care. So, as you can imagine, the interview between German Sedolayev and Zakhar Prilepin was quite interesting. So, as I said, my senior IS project is an original epic poem and translation of an article. I decided that I wanted to have a dynamic cast of characters, which made the Caucasus a great setting, because I could have them be from any ethnicity, and I could include any nods to any other minority groups that I wanted, without making it too far-fetched. You know, if I set it in somewhere where the ethnic background, or even the class background, was too homogeneous, then it wouldn't make any sense to have a group of characters with a bunch of differing viewpoints in the ways that I wanted them to. I also knew that I really wanted it to be in wartime, because of the nature of what epic poems must be. Epic poems are always grand, they're always ginormous, there's great violence, there's huge travel. So World War I just really sort of grabbed me. And I know the sort of joke about white boys loving World War, and I acknowledge that, but I just couldn't resist everything that was tempting about World War I. And then at the end of this page, I sort of spelled out a few of the themes that I wanted to sort of interact with, maybe pose some questions, but I didn't put everything, obviously, just some things that I thought of. Now, this wouldn't be a true postmodern piece without writing in a lot of different forms, so I did. I used different forms to indicate different things. The first thing I used form to indicate was the oralness of epics. Epics are always told aloud. The right way to tell an epic is to sing it with a lyre, and I didn't want to sing for a bunch of people. I also just wanted to write an epic, so I was sort of in a pinch. Thankfully, I had a friend, Mary McLaughlin, a classics major, who pushed me towards some theory written by Sappho scholars. Now, Sappho is considered one of the earliest, if not the first, epic poem writers, who lived on the island Lesbos, wrote a bunch of great things. Now, when translating her pieces into English, they couldn't always get a direct translation, and even worse, some of the translations would be damaged. So what they would do is they would position the text on the page and position the lines with each other in a way that hopefully communicated some of the meaning, some of the rhythm, some of the musicality lost in the translation. Using that sort of thought, I went along those lines and tried to arrange words on the page to make them seem more musical, more rhythmic, and if this sounds pretty airy and pretty, you know, subjective, it is. The next form is spatial indications. That's what I was indicating. I positioned the text to look nice on the page, regardless of the words they contained, because I just personally would hate to create something that looks ugly if you just are scanning over it. I also use spatial forms to show on a page how a physical space would look, as opposed to just having flat text. Next, I used form to indicate language, writing each language in a different poetic form, used by poets from those languages. As you can see, I used the Onegin stanza for Russian, free verse for English, and the Barzaletta form for German. Now, there are two languages, Moldovan and Italian, which I don't use any form for, and that is because in the section in which I use those languages, they aren't speaking at full, you know, full blast. They're just trying to be understood. One character only knows Italian, one character only knows Moldovan, and while those two languages are fairly close and a little mutually intelligible, they're not going to be speaking at the full speed, at their full cadence, you know, the same way that you talk just to a friend. You're going to be slowing down your word. Hello, can you understand me? Is not how you normally speak. So I left form out of that because in no way are they talking as they normally would. The last indication that I used form to look at was actually just sort of my introduction versus my epic. And now this may sound sort of cheesy and dumb, but give me a sec. My intro is written in my voice. That is how I normally talk. You can talk to some of my friends to verify that if you want. But that voice would be completely wrong for an epic. There's something about telling a story which gets you into a voice. Sure, everyone retains their own voice, and in no way was I trying to lose my own authorial voice, or was I trying to mask my sort of, you know, use of words or patterns of speech. But to be ignorant to the way in which stories would be told, and to be ignorant to the fact that my normal voice just wouldn't work for telling a normal story, would detract majorly from my IS project. Over the next few slides, you're given a synopsis and two excerpts. Synopsis is a synopsis, and the two excerpts sort of show the range that I was playing with between intense scenes of violence and gore, and scenes that I was really trying to show beauty and just pleasantness. Hopefully you enjoyed, and all my plans are to try and get this published, although That in itself is a journey. I'm not sure I'm personally happy with it, where it is. It's very much a work in progress. The ending, I'm not even sure that I like, and there are many sections within it that need a lot of work. But if everything goes right, then hopefully it will be published and available for the public. Thank you.